Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1114. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode is Paris Lilly. What's going on, Paris?
What is going on, man?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. Just getting ready to talk about some games here. I've been playing Fallout 76, which I know we've been talking about it for a while, that you were going to try for a long time now. But I've been having a blast with the game, man. Been having a blast. And I spend like twice already, multiple times, like 4+ hours every time I play, man. So yeah, time goes like this super, super fast. But the thing that I love about the game, Paris, is just the community, how helpful they are. And I noticed when I was streaming here a couple of days ago, man, even the streamers were like, oh, go check out Danny. He just started playing. Like I got rated multiple times from different content creators, that they were excited to see me playing for the first time. So it was really cool, man. Really, really cool. So yeah, if you have Game Pass, go check it out, man.
I have
definitely
an issue.
Go check it out.
I have an issue with Fallout 76.
Ooh,
and it's not the game itself. It's I want to play it on my PC. And oh my God, of course, Jesus. I want to play it on my PC. I don't want to play it on the console because of just the structure of a Fallout game. I want to play it in this room. I don't want to play it out in the freaking family room, right? So
yeah.
But there's no cross play. But I want to play with you guys. So I don't know what I'm gonna do, because I really feel like I want to just start over and go hop on the PC. But yeah, I want to also play with, you know, people like you and Rihanna and Khalif and all that too. So I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know yet. I really wish they could implement cross play into this at a minimum, or at least cross save. So if I'm doing stuff and you guys aren't around, I can hop on the PC and play, and obviously group with people in the PC community. And then obviously I could jump back and forth and go with console as well. But I want to deep dive into Fallout 76 with that roadmap and everything that just came out for the rest of this year. Obviously some time has passed. They've obviously done some quality of life improvements. A little bit I have played already. It's enjoyable. This definitely feels like a Fallout game, which is good. But yeah, I would prefer to play on my PC. I'll just put it that way, but I'll figure it out here. And I definitely want to squad up with you guys and jump in. So ultimately it sounds like I'm basically saying I'm going to play it on console, even though I don't want to, and I'm definitely not going to do two characters. So we'll definitely squad up this week for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. And I totally agree with you about crossplay. That I think, cross save would have been fantastic for the game and stuff. So, all right. So everyone head over to gamertagradio.com, put your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, or even post a review. If you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion or segment, which we're going to have a lot for this episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
And for those who are listening, there's also a new podcast app for Samsung users. It's called Samsung Free. They just recently added podcasts there, so you can listen to the show through there too. So yeah, man, we're everywhere. So that's a good thing, man. Good thing. Now, before we start, Paris, there's a couple of things I want to mention. One is I'm excited because Wednesday I'm going to get my vaccine, man. I just got my appointment last week. So, you know, I can't wait, because now slowly once I get my second dose, I think sometime in April, man, I could go and start seeing family, man. You know, because it's been a long time, man. Me not seeing anyone, you know. So I'm very, very excited. I know you got vaccinated a while ago, a long time ago. So it's good to to see more people getting vaccines, even people that we know from either the community and also from like the industry too, man. So yeah, a lot of friends of mine too, man. So I'm very, very, very excited about that, man. Also, the second thing I was going to mention to you, because this happened yesterday evening, actually. San Diego Comic-Con is happening during Thanksgiving weekend. Like, what are we thinking for making this announcement, man? Because I know there's video game related sometimes there, you know.
I'm completely against this. And I live in San Diego. This is home for me. And it's easy for me to go to Comic-Con, let alone doing this on a Thanksgiving weekend. You're taking people away from their families. We are still in the middle of a global pandemic. Sure, by the end of the year, more people will be vaccinated. It will be safer. But you're not reading the room. No one is screaming for an in-person Comic-Con, especially during the Thanksgiving weekend. It feels very tone deaf to me. It doesn't make sense. I won't be attending, you know. Yeah, I'm sure they're obviously going to do it, but hopefully they'll listen to the feedback they're getting from the community and they'll change this date. But even if it does stick with the Thanksgiving weekend, I have no incentive to want to go to it. Keep it virtual. We're in a pandemic. It's going to be another year. Just take a mulligan, come back in 2022, and then we can start doing the more in-person stuff when the world really, we get more people in the world vaccinated. We get back to a more normal lifestyle. It makes more sense. Trying to force this during a holiday weekend when this Thanksgiving might be the first Thanksgiving where it is actually safe to go travel and be with family. I would prefer to be with my family versus trying to go see the next Wonder Woman trailer or something like that, right? I don't care about that. It's tone deaf, definitely. So hopefully they don't stick with this. Hopefully they listen to what people have been saying the past couple of days and they move that date out.
Just that simple. And I just hope there's no gaming companies that are there, man, because, again, people have to work and they have to stay away from their family because of that, too. It's like, I don't know. I'm so against this, man. So against. Yeah. There was people that were joking, like, E3, December 25th. I'm like, what?
No.
It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, so I just want to bring that up very quick. Paris, so we've been talking about this behind the scenes, and I know by now a lot of people know about that there's been talks with Microsoft and Discord that maybe this will be the next acquisition for Microsoft, man. This is going to be a big thing if it happens, you know, because I think they're selling the Discord wants to sell this like what, for $1 point something billion,
no,
right?
10.
10? Okay, yeah. My bad. Mm-hmm. 10 billion. So a lot of people are asking, the conversation I've been seeing on Twitter is, Why Microsoft wants to go to this route and just acquire it? Because people will also compare it to like Skype and the servers, how it got messed up from there. But I feel like Discord is different. Discord is a totally different level when it comes to Skype, you know? So do you feel like, because I know you've been vocal about this on Twitter, do you feel like this is the same thing as Skype? Do you see this as a good thing for Microsoft to acquire Discord, and we'll go from there. The conversation. I'll give you my thoughts too after.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it would be a good acquisition for Microsoft to get Discord. But circling back to the whole Skype comments, I mean, to me that's such low hanging fruit. When I've been seeing those comments online, you know, yeah, they screwed up Skype. We get it. Teams isn't the best. We get it. But not everything is apples to apples, right? If they do acquire Discord, let's see how it plays out. It's just this defeatist attitude that I see with technology and Microsoft with anything. It's just like, come on, let's just be better than that. But yeah, I do think the Discord acquisition from a gamer standpoint would be good, because my scenario on it would be pretty simple. Microsoft, obviously, their communication, their game chat goes beyond just the console now, right? Obviously there's PC games, there's going to be mobile games, there's obviously the cloud stuff, everything. With Discord, this could kind of allow them to just have a universal game chat across the board. And who's to say this doesn't obviously carry over into Nintendo and PlayStation? We obviously have no idea how they would leverage this, but just from a communication standpoint in games, with crossplay becoming a new thing, this would be a great thing. And it would be as simple as you have your Discord account, you have your Xbox gamer tag, They link the two. So whether you're on your console or you're on the PC, those two IDs can synchronize. And when you're in in-game chat, it's just universal. Obviously, there's all the built-in communities that have happened with Discord, which is a good thing. Maybe there's some integration they can do with that. And basically just bake Discord in at the platform level, at the OS level, on the console. Leave PC exactly the way it is. Obviously, there's the Discord app. You can have some synchronization with that between mobile devices and on the cloud. Yeah, this is a good thing because, I mean, look at all the gymnastics, you know, we were doing trying to communicate, just playing zombies, right? This eliminates that so that if I'm on a PC, you're on a console, someone else is on a mobile device, we can all communicate, you know, across the board. That's the hope of what this would be and why it would be a good thing. Obviously, Microsoft is a corporation. We have no idea what other uses they would have for this, because as we just mentioned, they already have Teams that they use for video conferencing and you know communication. I use it in my day job already, so I don't think they necessarily need Discord for that. But just from a pure gaming standpoint, yeah, I would like to see it personally, selfishly. And I do understand how this could not be a good thing. Like I said, when you bring PlayStation and Nintendo into it, will they have access to it? Will we be able to have cross communication, you know, baked in for Discord with that? I would hope so. That would be the ultimate goal. But we'll have to see. And one thing I did see, it sounds like Discord approached Microsoft, because I guess Microsoft had approached Discord at some point and the deal just was bad timing. It wasn't a good thing for Discord to want to be acquired. But I guess now, again, rumors is just what I saw, that Discord approached Microsoft, and that's why they're basically in exclusive negotiation right now about being acquired. How quickly they would integrate things, who knows? This may not, even if it happened today, we may not see the effects of Microsoft acquiring Discord well into 2022. But I think in the age of gaming, with crossplay and just making ease of use for all of us to communicate and collaborate, Discord has just become the de facto place where we all use voice chat on the PC. So if they can kind of bake that in at the console level too, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree with you with that. And I know even yesterday I was playing with Andrea, Renee from What's Good Games, Khalif, Ree, and I. We were all playing zombies again yesterday, and we were using Discord to chat. Mm-hmm. And it was perfect because we were using the headset, the Xbox headset, and I had my phone connected to the wireless, also my console. And we were great experience. Everything was smooth, a lot of easier. But I think by them acquiring Discord, Microsoft, I think the experience is going to be even a lot easier and even better. Just one click and boom, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. So even think about this. Like, imagine playing a game, let's say Gears or Halo, on your mobile device, S-Cloud. You could also use an app like Discord to get that easy experience to communicate with your friends, you know, or even if you want to play a game like Nintendo Switch, you know, that doesn't, like, their online experience is not that great, but having Discord there will make the experience even better, man, communication-wise, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I think this will be big, man, really, really big for Microsoft. And also, as a content creator, I think it will be helpful for us. I think they will add more tools in there for us to just make the experience even better for us to create content, or when we go and stream here on Twitch or YouTube and other places, you know. So yeah, I'm very curious to see what type of things they're gonna add in there. And I haven't even used the Nitro feature on Discord, but they could easily, Microsoft could easily add in their Xbox Game Pass PC there, right? They could easily do that if they want to too. So I think that would be cool. You know what I'm saying? And promote that in there. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So you said 2022.
I have no idea. I'm just speculating. Because I'm going by the Bethesda acquisition. Look how long it took for them to get that even finally approved. Even if the Discord was approved a lot quicker, which I think it would be because it's different. How quickly could they integrate the tech into what they're doing inside the Xbox network, right? So like I said, I don't necessarily think we would see an immediate change, even if it happened tomorrow. I think it would still take time, obviously, to get integrated. It's like even we're seeing right now with what Xbox is doing on the Insider program with, you know, the free to play stuff that they're doing now, taking the Xbox Live Gold away, party chat being free. It takes time to beta test and make sure all that stuff is working before you make it publicly accessible. So, yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath for anything with Discord and Xbox until 2022.
Yeah, I think I was seeing the article. I think it was Wall Street Journal that said that they're in talks right now. And it might happen sometime next month. Like, if once it becomes official, I'll make the announcement. But I think that what you're saying, just everything together sometime next year. Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah,
I think let's see. For those who are listening, post your comments, let us know what your thoughts about it on Discord or in our Discord or on Twitter. Let us know, or send us a fan mail question or comment about this topic. So yeah, very excited to see what's gonna happen next, man. Paris, so you know, I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty, and throughout the years they've been adding a lot of like World War II themes, right, for the game. And it looks like, this is from multiple sources, it looks like Sledgehammer is coming back with Call of Duty, but this time, once again, World War II. Are you tired of seeing that? You would like, yes, to see something different? Okay. All
right. Yes. Well, there you go. Yeah, completely, completely tired of it. I mean, look, we've been doing World War II on and off now, God, 20 years at this point.
Too long.
The only thing they can really do is take Call of Duty into the far, far future. And obviously, they've already done some of that stuff with Black Ops and all that. I get it. But going back to World War II, what story are you going to tell? That really gets me. Honestly, you know who's done the best with that has been Wolfenstein, because Wolfenstein has played off of World War II, spun it off into this alternate reality. And even that isn't sitting in actual World War II. It's, oh, the Nazis won, and here we are in the 60s now, or the 70s or whatever. And here are the results. Resistance Fall of Man is another one that has taken a spin off of World War II and changed it into a different direction. There's another one, too, I'm not thinking of. But just going back to just good old World War II again, been there, done that. I it doesn't excite me. I mean, at all. Here's the thing with Call of Duty. I mean, like I said, you love zombies. Warzone is obviously becoming its own thing, and that's great. But just core Call of Duty, the core campaign again, World War II, the multiplayer, World War II maps, rinse, repeat. Been there, done that a million times. I really don't know what else they can do that would get me excited about it. I'm not excited. I'm sure there'll be some fun gameplay moments in there. I get it. But will I be excited about it? No. Will Call of Duty still be the number one selling game in 2021? Yes. It's just a rinse and repeat thing at this point. It's just a machine. Until Call of Duty loses significant market share, of course they're going to keep doing this stuff over and over again. They have no reason to truly take any risk beyond what they've already done, like with Warzone and all that. That's been a nice spinoff and re-energize the franchise a little bit. But yeah, Sledgehammer going to World War, I can't even say it right, going to WW2. Yeah. Hey, as you like to say, meh,
meh, meh. Yeah, it's sad that, you know, no matter what we say, no matter what the people say, I mean, there's people complaining about it online, but the game sells, man. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
There's no way to stop it. There's no way to stop it, you know, and I wish it will go to a different route, man, and just show something different, man. It doesn't have to be futuristic. And that's another thing that a lot of companies tried too in the past. Hey, let's make it, you know, all in the future with these weird, crazy weapons and running through the wall and all these flying. And I'm like, that killed the experience also from Call of Duty. It's just like, where this should go? It's hard, Paris. Like, it's really hard. It's hard to please everyone, man, when it comes to that stuff.
No, it is. I mean, obviously, they just did the Cold War. You know, hey, that was a different era. I get it. I don't think you would generate any excitement going to the Korean War or even Vietnam. So, I mean, did Battlefield do World War One? I think they did. Obviously, yeah, nobody wants to see the Civil War. Ugh. So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Unless you just make up something completely alternate reality, do something completely different. Doesn't matter the era it's in. I don't know. We've obviously done Modern Warfare. You know, we've seen some future stuff with Black Ops. I don't know. I really don't know where Call of Duty can go next, other than, hey, the multiplayer is still fun. Obviously, it's huge with esports. Warzone has given it new life. But from a story standpoint with Call of Duty, I don't know. I just don't know. And that's not, I'm not even saying it as a negative. I just don't know. Because like we're saying, it's still the best-selling game every year. Obviously, there's an audience for it. Yo, we've been to Call of Duty events. We've seen it firsthand. That fan base is rabid. So, hey, God bless them. Keep doing your thing. Just don't expect me to be excited about it. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I forgot to add this on the list, and I just remember now, too, because this happened sometime last week, where, again, multiple sources are saying that PlayStation is going to shut down the digital store for PlayStation 3 and also for PSP, PS Vita. I mean, I can see why companies are shutting down, but from the other side too, from the consumer side, it's scary because what happens if you buy these games digitally, you erase it, and you want to re-download it again? How's that going to work? You know, what if you buy a game years from now, Paris, and the store gets shut down, and you buy the physical disc, there's no way for you to update. You know, so, I mean, so far, I haven't experienced that with Xbox, because so far, they're releasing all these games digitally, even if you purchased before from the old consoles. But it is scary from the consumer side, especially Nintendo, that's been notorious doing this. You buy the game, you have your console, then years later, Nintendo's like, eh, let's shut it down. Shut down the store. And it's like, okay, how can you go back and re-download these games again? You know, so yeah, I want to know like your thoughts about that. But to me, it's just a scary, scary thing seeing this from companies. And I wish there's an easier way to re-download not only the updates, but also the games that you actually purchased digitally from back in the day, Suman.
Well, you know, when this happened, I had said this, we're literally at the mercy of these companies with digital content. Again, I don't have an answer. I'm not saying this is good, but well, it is potentially a bad thing, but there is no alternative. The way technology is moving, we're going to a digital age. It is a very real prospect that when we get to the next console cycle, there will no longer be any physical media. It will all be digital. That is real. I mean, music is pretty much there now. Like, hey, when I dusted off all my old CDs, I pull out the case. I'm like, hell, this is from a different era. Who does this anymore for music, right? Same thing is going to be with games, whether you like it or not. But the point, the scary part of this is, as we continue to get more and more into digital content, you're gonna see more of these digital stores, quote unquote, retire. What happens to the legacy content at that point? Like a great example of this is Cyberpunk 2077. If you have a physical copy of Cyberpunk 2077, it's pretty much useless. That base game is virtually unplayable. It needs day one patches and obviously all the other updates that they're going to put out. What happens if those updates are no longer available to a physical disc that you have? Physical media in the current age is nothing more than just a way to give you an easy way to get some of the content installed on your hard drive, on your console. It's not like it was back in the, you know, back in our days, you know, as kids in the NES, Super Nintendo era, where you bought the game, that was the game, that was it. Whether if it worked, it worked. If it didn't, you're out of luck because there were no patches or anything now, right? And that's kind of the trade-off that we have with this stuff. It is a very good thing that you can continue to update games and do all that kind of stuff. But what happens, like I said, if that were to go away, knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't. But seeing what PlayStation did is a warning towards where we could go. Look at Stadia as an example. Stadia is going to go away. We know it is. So all those games that you bought on there, poof. Now what? What are you going to do? They're gone. And that could happen. That could very well happen with Xbox and Nintendo and everything else as we continue to move on. Obviously, we've seen that Xbox seems to want to continue the legacy of backwards compatibility, and obviously those games are being kind of preserved in that way because they continue to live on the current consoles. But that's still no guarantee We don't know. Yeah. I mean, and look, I'm not trying to say this is doom and gloom, like it's going to happen. Obviously, chances are it won't. But PlayStation did what they did for a reason, right? Clearly, there wasn't, it probably was costing them money to keep those stores going versus them actually being profitable for them. So they made the decision that was best for business. And that's what people got to realize with all this. You can take all your, because people, dude, I said it online, people got mad that I'm saying this. It's like, don't be mad at me. It's reality. It's business. So as we move forward, legacy titles, unless there's some kind of preservation that's apparent. And I know we even got an email. Someone was asking about, do you think companies will invest and put all the updates on physical media? Absolutely not. Why?
Nope.
What's the point? There's no point. There's no incentive for them to do that. You want it. We want it. But the companies don't care about that. You know, like I said, we are moving further away from physical media. Does it exist? Like it exists right now, even, you know, in entertainment with movies and TVs, you can still go buy Blu-rays and all that. But how do most people consume that content now? Digital streaming, same with games. It's no different. So I understand the argument that people think I'm crazy when I say all this stuff. I just try to look at it logically. Logically, we will continue to move away from physical media. And even that will not be a guarantee that you can basically preserve your games, because that disc that you buy is pretty much worthless after the first week a game comes out, because there's day one patches and there's going to be all kind of updates that happen with these games moving forward. So if 10 years from now you pop that disc and you want to play it, it's going to be virtually unplayable to what you would expect the game to be. And I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing. I'm just saying it is what it is. It's the reality of where we are.
Yeah. I remember playing a game. This was back in the Super Nintendo days. Do you remember Super Castlevania?
Oh, yeah.
Super Castlevania 4. So there's a part in the game where you're walking inside the cave and there's a lot of rocks that start dropping. Dude, the character's like this. Super slow. Super slow. And it's like that whole level is slow, right? But I got used to it because there was no updates back then. Like, there was no way for you to fix companies to fix those games right now. Once in a while you might get a game like Mario, where Nintendo will print a certain amount of copies and then they'll reprint it again, and there might be a small update and with the new batch of copies as they sell. You know, for example, remember this Mike Tyson back in the days, I think they only released like 500,000. Then whatever happened back then with the controversy with Mike Tyson in the 80s, they reprinted and they added a new character in the game. Right. So that's how it used to be back then. But yo, once you buy that disc or that cartridge, that's it. Like, that's the game. Now with this one, the problem that I have, Paris, especially with Nintendo, because I bought a bunch of like Nintendo DS games and 3DS games and Wii U games. I know it's not a big crowd that have been playing it, but Nintendo can just say, shut down. Now, how can I update those games that I purchased physically or digitally? You know, how can I re-download those games again if I want to have it there? Because to me, those games, Paris, they're history. How can people in the future could go back and play those games that's not even nowhere to be found? Like, people can't buy it. Like, there's games from the PS Vita that there was gems. But once that's gone, like, how can you play those? How can you re-download those again? You know, because we don't know yet if PlayStation are going to have an opportunity for people to re-download those games in the future. You know, everybody just knows it's getting shut down. Now, one example, years ago, I remember we had a post on our old website, Gamertag Radio, where EA had a list of games that they were going to shut down the servers, right? And that, to this day, is like the most viewed post ever on the website, because people will go in there and be like, man, I have those games. Why is it getting shut down? But now some of those games that's from that list are back. Also, the online servers are back because of the services of EA Play. So there is a chance of some of those games to come back too, just to be part of those subscription services. You know what I'm saying? So there's the good side, there's the bad side. So it's not 100% bad. You know what I'm saying? So just want to say that very quick from that point of view, man. You know, but we'll see what happens, man. Hey, if there's people that purchase a lot of games from PlayStation, the old PlayStation, please let us know, man, because Especially PSV, they got some gems in there, man. Especially like the indie games in there, man. You know?
I would imagine that we will see those games return in some form or fashion on whatever they're on an updated store, whatever the PlayStation store is now. Like, they're not going to go away forever. I highly doubt that. But they'll do it in a way where, just like Nintendo, probably going to have to buy them again.
Oh, that sucks. I don't want that. I don't want that, man.
Nintendo's been doing it for 30 years, so I might be surprised. You know, it doesn't surprise me at all if that happens. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy on it, but it's just a reality of business, man. If they can profit from legacy titles, what's the best way to do it? Get you to buy them again. Nintendo, like I said, Nintendo has been the master of doing that, and we run out and keep on doing it. So,
yep.
You know, it's just reality of it.
Man, I repurchased those games multiple times throughout the years with Nintendo. It's like, oh my God. It's crazy. Especially during the Wii U days. A lot of great games on there. It came out again on the Switch. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just sucks. All right. So, Paris, let's talk about our sponsor, man. Yo, it's been a couple of weeks now. Actually, last week, I was playing Fallout. I was going to say Cyberpunk. I don't know why. Fallout 76 for hours while wearing my Shaq eye gear glasses. And it's been good. Been great. I even let Ree, you know, use it for a little bit too, man. She's like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. This is nice, man. So I'm enjoying it, man. And I know one of our listeners also purchased glasses. He used our promo code, which is only exclusive here on GTR. And he likes it. He posted a picture. He's like, yeah, I'm part of the GTR crew now. I'm like, yeah, man. So what are your thoughts of your glasses, your experience so far, man?
They've been great. They've been great. The Shaq Eye Gear glasses are good. They're solid. Like you said, they're very comfortable for long sessions of use. They don't feel uncomfortable at all. You know, blocking out that blue light, which is the key to everything. Like I've said before, the number one thing I look for when wearing gaming glasses is they have to be comfortable, or what's the point? The second thing is, are they filtering out, you know, the lights, which is the whole point of them. And the Shaq Eye Gear glasses absolutely does that. Yeah, it has been great to see people, you know, hitting us up on social media that have purchased them. Like I said, they're reasonably priced, not overly expensive. Like I said, use our code GTR. You can get 10% off on them. It's a good deal. And I'm very thankful that they decided to sponsor Gamertag Radio. And I hope people, you know, at least just go check it out. You know, at least check it out. See if it's something for you, if you're in the market for gaming glasses. And then you can make up your own mind.
Yeah, so go right now to ShaqEyeGear.com. That's ShaqEyeGear.com. And use promo code GTR for 10% of your order. All right. Thanks to them for sponsoring this week's episode of Gamer Tag Radio. All right. So it's time for fan mail, Paris. We haven't done fan mail in a while. I'm excited about this. I'm excited. And here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So we have questions from via email and Discord. We have voicemails. Paris, I want you to select which one you want. Voicemails, emails, and I'll go with that.
Do the voicemail.
Do a voicemail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's one that's a question, and this one that's just a statement. So I just want to, I don't know which one is which, so let me go with this one. Let's see.
What's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? Shout out to you, Danny, for the amazing work. Shout out to you, Paris. And what's going on, P-Rock? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. Just had a quick question for you good brothers. And I asked you guys this a couple of years ago, and y'all said there's no way that this would happen. But now that we're in a different time, things are a lot different. Do you guys think that we could possibly see a digital E3 event? What I mean by that is, us, people at home, do you think it would ever happen with the ESA, I believe, where they would ever allow people to buy a E3 digital pass, which would basically mean that you could get admission, I guess, to be able to play certain game demos that would have been on an E3 floor, But because things are the way that they are and capacities can't be the same, do you think that that's something that they would offer to someone at home to get a E3 digital pass? And if so, would you guys actually sign up for something like that? Just wanted to run that by you guys. Hopefully I didn't take up too much time. But as always, thank you, good brothers, for the hard work, the amazing dedication. And with that being said, you guys take care and have a good one. Bye-bye.
Ooh, digital E3. I could see the ESA having a digital event where people could pay and go in there and try, you know, to watch the like special videos, panels, or who knows, maybe they'll get also a package where Steam codes where you could buy or try out some games based on just you attending virtually E3. I could see that definitely happen. Now, for me, would I join and let's say I'm not a content creator, I'm just Danny, just, you know, I'm a fan of video games. Would I sign up to a digital E3? I would say no. And the reason is because I prefer physical, in my opinion, when it comes to that type of content. And also, I probably will get feedback and I will start conversation maybe online through social media with friends that are maybe covering the games or maybe talking about like certain things that they got to see online, because companies are going to release all those videos online through YouTube, you know? So I don't know what is the point for me to sign up and go to a digital E3. I don't know. Personally, for me, I would not do that. Is it going to be cheap? Is it going to be expensive? I have no idea how this is going to happen, man. So Paris, for you, would you join a E3 digital event in your opinion? Also, do you think this is a good idea for the ESA to do this, man?
Oh, I'm sure the ESA would love it. It is not going to happen, though, because number one, the publishers who would have the content that would matter enough that people would even potentially want to pay for it, they're not going to sign up for that. Why in the hell would Microsoft or PlayStation sign up for something like that? And the ESA is basically charging people to view that content when, it, like you just said, all that stuff is going to be readily available right after whatever press briefing they have anyways for public consumption. It's a model that would never work. People would instantly reject that. It's no, no, definitely no. Hell no. No, that'll never happen. Look, E3, and we've been saying this before the pandemic. I'm going to say it again. E3's done. It's done. The writing has been on the wall the past few years anyways. And the pandemic, in my opinion, has just accelerated it, because now these third parties realize they don't need E3. It will be very interesting to see who participates and at what level this summer with E3. But it is more than clear PlayStation is going to continue to do what they did last year. Microsoft has already signaled they're going to have their big event this summer. I would imagine EA is going to do the same thing on down the line. Square basically just did their own thing here a couple weeks ago, and I would imagine they expand on it over the summer. These companies, especially in a digital format, do not need the ESA, and they do not need E3 to present their content. And you don't all do it all at once where messages get lost. You do them on various days and you own the day. You own that news cycle with messaging. That just makes sense. So hell no, it's not going to happen, especially digital. Like you said, once the world goes back to normal, knock on wood, and we can start having physical events. Look, selfishly, yes, I realize I would miss E3 because I miss being able to hang out with my friends and, you know, meet other people that I respect across this industry. But that's a selfish thing. From a practical thing, yeah, you don't even need that anymore. We've already seen it. Like I said, moving forward, I think even once the world goes back to normal, if you want things that has more community and fan participation, do them at PAX, do them at Comic-Con. It just makes sense. You don't need an E3 anymore. And we were already seeing what was happening last year before it got canceled. PlayStation, we're out. Microsoft was already across the street doing their thing. More and more people were pulling out. Jeff Keighley was like, deuces, I'm going to go do my own thing. And this was before the pandemic, remember. So why would it change once it goes back to normal? It's over. It's done. And I'm not trying to say that as an a-hole. I'm just being practical about it and being logical about it. There is no longer a need for E3. Just isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I look, last year, like you said, seeing all these companies doing multiple digital events throughout the year has been a successful thing. For example, PlayStation, without going to E3, it had over 1 million views just on PlayStation releasing the video showing the PlayStation 5. 1 million views. That's just digitally. Why would PlayStation go back to E3 if they could do this on their own? They saved so much money on just doing it like that digitally. Microsoft, multiple times, they had multiple digital events throughout the year, right? Even having exclusive content with Jeff Keighley for Summer Game Festival, which is also free. You can watch it online through Twitter, through YouTube, etc., right? All that. And both companies still sold multiple consoles this holiday season. Multiple consoles. Without no hands-on events throughout the year. It's just word of mouth. They get the content creators to talk about the content, right? About the hardware, et cetera, about the game set. And they don't need to go to E3 for what? You know what I'm saying? So that's an example of companies are just moving forward and they're probably going to do other things that they don't need to go to the E3. Now, the only thing I'm going to mention though, Paris, is we might see companies going back to E3 because maybe some of those companies don't want to lose that relationship with the ESA.
Why?
I'm just saying, I can see that happening too.
You're saying it, but I'm legitimately asking the question, why?
Because
why does a relationship with the ESA even matter at this point?
Because I'm just saying some people from the gaming industry are also part of the board?
Okay, that's fine.
Maybe because of that. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of it. But
okay, I'm just saying, just pretend I'm Phil Spencer for a second. Why am I going to go spend $10 million to try and set up some freaking show to make someone happy at the ESA? Screw that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. When I can take that same marketing money and I can reinvest it back in ourselves and I could use it in a more practical way and still have the same, if not better, engagement than if I trudge my entire team down to LA for a week to show off some game demos, which you don't even want to really do from a development standpoint, because that takes away from the actual making the final game, you know? So like, look, and I know I'm calling off kind of rough about the whole E3 thing, because, you know, whenever this topic comes up, people tend to get grumpy who've never attended, who've never been a part of that process, and they think they know better than we do. But it's like, I have been going to there since 2001, 20 years I've been going to E3. And I'm telling you, since about 2015, I saw the writing on the wall. I go, what the hell are we even doing here? This is pointless. You get nothing done on the show floor. Especially when the public got in there, it was freaking chaos. Everything was up in meeting rooms. I could do all that at home. We got as much done sitting here at home than I did going to LA for a week, right? And doing that. And like I said, from a selfish standpoint, I get it, because I get to hang out with people in person. Of course you want that. But from a practical standpoint, you don't need that show anymore. And the big publishers have already shown you that. Like I said, PlayStation, and I kept saying this for years, I go, the second Microsoft or PlayStation is out, that show is done. PlayStation left, they're never coming back. EA left, they're never coming back. Microsoft is basically kind of one foot in, one foot out. They're basically leaning towards being out. Look, Bethesda is now a part of Microsoft, so they're basically out too. What's the point? Yeah. That's all I'm saying. And it sure as hell ain't going to be to appease the ESA, because they don't need the ESA. That's all I'm saying. So I don't care if they're on the board or not. For what? I wouldn't invest all my millions of dollars trying to go to that show for that. I would use it for something else. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, man, look, I agree with you, Paris. I'm just being the devil's advocate here, you know, bringing that up, because people might bring that up. You know what I'm saying? So I totally agree with you, man. Just saying. All right. So there's another email here. It's a long email, but I'm gonna keep it very, very short. This is from a listener. His name is James. And he asked a couple questions, so I'm going to read it very quickly here. How does this Bethesda exclusivity affect the gaming community as a whole, right? Could this rub gamers the wrong way? Also, Paris, could this affect Microsoft as the good guy image? He owns all consoles. He just wants to know our opinion about this, man. So I know we talked about this in multiple times in the past, but I think as a whole, my opinion, I think this is a good thing. It's because there's more good than bad. But the good side is when there's competition like this, it means that us as a consumers, we're going to get better content, better games, more options. We're going to see also the other companies that will see this. Maybe this will step up their game to also make a big move too that is going to benefit. Of course, from the business side, it's going to benefit them. But as a consumer, it's going to help us, man. You know what I'm saying? So I think, in my opinion, competition is good for the industry and it's good for us. You know, the more that we see this, the more that companies are just going to go all out, make maybe the games even cheaper, invest more money on studios, on a bunch of other things, man, that's going to benefit us, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's from my opinion. So what are your thoughts about this, Paris, for you?
Well, I think I read what he was saying a little bit different. I'm just pulling it up so I can look again. Yeah. Because it was kind of like I've talked about already. There's definitely a negative side to Microsoft acquiring Bethesda because you just took a major third-party publisher off the board. Yes, I think from a pure game standpoint, Bethesda now being able to collaborate with Microsoft Game Studios is a good thing. I think we're going to see more innovation. We're going to see more risk being taken because Microsoft now gets to take all the financial burden off of Bethesda and they can just worry about doing their craft and that's making amazing games. But what are the repercussions for this long term? Now we know Bethesda games ain't showing up on a PlayStation platform. That's a reality, most likely on Nintendo as well. So what does that mean? I mean, that does take away some of the competitive balance moving forward, but we won't see that in short term. That's a question we can't answer. It'll probably be, you know, 5 years from now, 7 years from now before we'll actually see the true repercussions of this. But we do know in the short term, a potentially big AAA game like Starfield. Now, if you're a PlayStation guy, you're not gonna have access to that. I mean, again, this is a part of business. This is what happens. It's the competitive nature of that. Microsoft is trying to force people to come over to their ecosystem. So that's why they made a move like this in the first place. So, like I said, I think there's definitely a lot of good to this, but there is some bad to it too. But we'll have to see how it plays out to understand just how bad potentially it could be and what this means for the gaming industry moving forward.
Yep, definitely, man. Thanks, James, for the email. Also, shout out to everybody else that's been sending us, you know, voice messages or email too, man. So, Paris, I'm going to play the other voicemail, and here goes.
Hey, Gamertag Radio crew. My name is Luis Gutierrez. I'm from Los Angeles, and I just wanted to say you guys are awesome. Thank you. I love you, Danny, and I love you, Paris, Peter, all of you guys. As someone who's aspiring to be a games journalist who's going to school for journalism, I'm in my senior year. I'm a Mexican, and looking to you guys and seeing people of color and, you know, the video game sphere just killing it. It's freaking awesome. And you guys are inspiring me to keep, like, pushing forward because it's awesome to see people who, you know, look like me and who are just thriving in the gaming sphere. I love you guys, and you're a big inspiration. Keep it up. And I love everything that you guys are doing regarding Xbox, PlayStation. You guys cover it all pretty fairly. And thank you. I love you guys. And keep killing it. And Danny, if you ever want to play some Apex Legends, let me know, because I've been getting more into Apex Legends because of, like, how much you talk about it. Yeah, I'll see you guys later.
All right, well, first of all, yes, we definitely got to play Apex Legends. So send me your gamer tag and we'll make it happen for sure, man. Thanks for the voicemail. And, you know, I've been having this conversation with Paris and also with a few friends. Like, you know, it's important for me to try my best to also give back and just you know, inspire just the next generation, because look, we're not going to be doing this forever, you know what I'm saying? But I want the next generation to do better than what we're doing now, Paris. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember from back in the days for us, man, the only thing that we had back then was just reading magazines, reading EGM, GamePro. That's how it inspired me to create content online about video games, because I would just read those magazines all the time back then. You know, now there's more, it's a lot easier now for for the younger generation to reach out and stay in touch with people like us and other content creators is out there doing their thing, you know? And yeah, we just got to do our thing and try our best to give back, man. That's, you know, when somebody asks a question, you know, once in a while, we're going to try our best to write. But at the same time, I want people to just, like, when they do this, just have fun with this, man. You know, the day that I'm not having fun at all, I'm going to stop completely, you know? And one thing that I always tell content creators is surround yourself with good people. I even posted a video about this the other day, man, that when you see someone from your community, from the industry, a friend of yours that's succeeding and doing big things, making major, major moves, congratulate them. Don't hate on them. You know, we need to support each other, man, especially in our own people, man. Like sometimes I'll see others that will get jealous. Like, why? Because someone got an opportunity you didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just sad to see that negativity still going on years later. But what we need to do is just keep on pushing each other, man. Because I think the more of us out there, I think it will make the not only the community better, but will make the industry better too, man. So yeah, keep on doing your thing, man. I'm proud that it's your final year, man. I hope everything goes well with you, man. So Paris, you want to say anything about that too for you?
Yeah, I mean, it is obviously very important that I think more people of color get into content creation. But like I said, it starts with doing this because you love it, right? Doing it because you have passion for it. Doing it because it's fun. You know, just echoing what Danny said, the day this ain't fun, I'm out 100%. I do this because I love to do it. And I do understand. I don't know. I don't want it to sound like in an arrogant way. It's just a factual way. I understand the responsibility that we have being people of color, being in a spotlight, you know, with the various platforms that we have, trying to represent this the right way. Knowing that there's that younger generation that's watching us, and we're going to inspire them to want to jump into this. I'd also flip it to say it isn't even just about the younger generation. I mean, we're both in our 40s and we're doing this. There's no rule that says you can't become a content creator because you're a certain age or a certain stage of your life, right? You do it whenever you can. Today can be the day that you start. You know, you start building your craft, you start working on your brand, you start making unique content that's fun for you, that you're passionate about, you start putting it out there to the world, and you take all the feedback, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? Because that's part of it too. You also have to understand, being a content creator, especially one of color, you're going to get negative comments. You're going to get negative feedback. The difference is to understand the ones that are just basically fueled out of hate versus the ones that are actually being respectful and critical that are going to help you get better. I love critical feedback. I thrive off of feedback that is telling me what I am doing wrong so that I can get better. I don't need people to tell me how great I am. I really don't. I mean, it, obviously, hey, as a human being, it's good to hear and let you know you're doing something right. But the critical feedback is how I get better as a creator. And like I said, being a creator of color, you're going to get some of the most craziest, hateful, racist nonsense that you could imagine. But you can't let that deter you. You can't. You have to rise above that kind of stuff. And you just have to keep doing it because you love to do it. So I'm very happy that he sent that message in. I hope, you know, between myself, Danny, Pete, even when Kevin was on here the other week, I hope people like that can inspire, you know, like obviously even Mandy, you know, love her when she was on here. Even more female creators get out there as well. It's the whole point is this isn't some exclusive good old boys club. It's should be for everyone. And we need to see more of us doing this. I need to see more people that look like me doing it. And just to touch on the one thing Danny said, I'm in a very ornery mood today. So I'm just going to keep it 100. You know, like for people that are watching this live on Twitch, you see what I'm sitting in right now. This has literally been, this is the yellow cyberpunk chair. This has literally been the symbol of some people's angst out there in the community for some god-awful reason they feel like, because, you know, I was super excited about Cyberpunk 2077 and I got a chance to play it early and I've gotten a bunch of marketing materials from them that somehow skews my value in this industry somehow, which honestly is laughable. But that's kind of the point when Danny brings up just jealousy and this envy and all that. It's not about it, this should not be about that at all. Yes, I've had some success in this, but I ain't Dr. Lupo as an example. I'm not a millionaire out of this. I'm just having fun doing it. And yes, I've gotten some cool opportunities and things along the way. And that goes for all creators. Look, I don't mind when people say crazy stuff to me because, you know, I'm an adult and I'm mature enough to handle it and I move on. But not everyone is built for that. So when I see other people out there online and other aspiring creators, by the way, that love to make their little funny memes or make their little sub tweets and say all these other comments, it's you're deterring from the process. You're discouraging someone that may not be built to be able to handle all of your, you're basically your cyberbullying is what you're doing. And that creative person might walk away from this. And that's a damn shame. When I see those kind of comments come at my friends, it upsets me because nobody deserves that nonsense. We're all in this together, man. We're all just trying to have fun doing this. And the more of us that can do this, the more of us that can collaborate in this craft, the better. This is about a community of people. This is about having fun. This is about creators making unique things that people can enjoy. It's about entertainment, ultimately, right? And there's definitely just way too much nonsense out there online. And it all boils back down to jealousy. I'm sorry if you hate hearing me say that, but it's true. People love to hate the thing that they want the most. And if they can't have it, then you can't have it either. So they try to drag you down to their level. And we see this a lot, a too effing much, in my community, in the Black community, and it needs to stop. It really does. I'm not going to speak for other communities, but I will speak for mine. We're the absolute worst when it comes to this, where we try to discourage the people that are actually putting their face out there in public and are trying to do creative and new things because you're too timid to be able to do it. You try to drag them back down to your level because God forbid if someone actually exposes a side of themselves to the world. I know I'm getting a little ranty on this because it is something that does upset me. I talk about it privately a lot because I wish there was some kind of solution to this. The only thing I can say is for those of you who may feel intimidated to want to jump in and start creating content, just do it. Just do it. You're going to have your quote unquote haters. You're going to have your people that are going to tell you you aren't good enough. All that sucks, this, that, and the other. Know what to filter out and know what to listen to. Good feedback, critical feedback is a good thing because it helps you get better as a creator. The other people that are just literally trying to drag you down to their level, ignore them because that's what they want. Don't engage with them on social media because that's what they want. When they put the funny memes out about you and say all the crazy stuff about you, ignore them because that's what they want. They want to know that they are getting to you. Ignore it because it does nothing. If I sat there and actually paid attention to all the nonsense that I see online every day, I'd lose my effing mind. Can't do that. I do this because I love to do it. Like Danny said, I surround myself with dope ass people because that's how I want people that are trying to succeed. I want people that are better than me because it inspires me to want to be better, right? Just because I see some other person get something that I ain't got, I don't get mad. If anything, I go, well, damn, what do I need to do to get that too, right? Because I want that as well. That's the mentality you have to take about that. You also have to understand as a creator, you're not going to necessarily have the greatest engagement or following day one. That's not how this works. You do it because you love it, not because you're trying to get something out of it. The thing that you should be getting out of it is your own self-satisfaction that you created something unique and something that you can be proud of. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. And I think if we can get to that level with more people in this community, we'll all be better for it. Rant off. Yeah. I'm done. Sorry.
No. And I totally agree with you. And look, a lot of people don't know about this, but, and I'm not going to mention who or what, but, you know, last year there was a lot of big moments for us, man. You know, having, for example, our 1,000th episode, we announced it. You know, there was people that was talking, you know, negativity about that. You know, I ignored it, kept on going. I was like, Paris, let's celebrate our moment, man, because it's not easy for a content creator, for a podcaster to release over 1,000 episodes. I celebrate my moment. I ignored the negativity, man. When I announced I was going to have Reggie on the show, people were telling me, you have to do it this way. You have to ask him questions about so-and-so, stuff that is hot right now at the moment. I ignore that. You know what? I stick with, let me just ask questions that I wanted to ask him for a very long time. And it worked out. The great, great conversation. It wasn't about clickbaits. It wasn't about none of that stuff, right? But Paris, when you create your content about, let's say, last year with Cyberpunk, you did it your way, right? And it was a very successful, like it got a lot of views. A lot of people were talking about it. And I think that's the thing, that if anybody is up and coming, a content creator or journalist, do it in a way that your content is going to last for years. It's not about what's hot at the moment, that you're going to get so much buzz for like a day or a couple of days. And then 10 years from now, are people still going to be talking about that? You know, that's always been my focus. I've never been into this whole clickbait and everything like that, man. That to me is like short-term success. Long-term success is, like you said, Paris, being you, being unique, and at the same time ignores the people that just been hating on you, sending those negative comments, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's been working out for us. And at the same time, so once again, the most important thing, surround yourself with people that are going to inspire you, or they're going to push you. Because look, I've been saying this multiple times, man. Paris, Pete, Mandy, David, I could mention multiple names, that's people that were part of GTR. They inspire me to be better, man. I'm Danny now because of them. You know, I think having that critical feedback, like Paris will tell me, Danny, I think you should do it this way. I will tell also to Paris, because I want Paris to become better too. That's what we need in life, man. Helping each other out so we all succeed, instead of this whole competition and hate. Hey, look, Paris in the background, you see a fridge that he got that. I didn't get that. I was like, oh, that's dope. I celebrate with Paris when I saw that, man. Celebrate with Paris when he got that chair. I didn't get the chair, you know? And I think in our community, Paris, that's what we need to see more of, that, man, of just the support of each other, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, yo, there's things that you do that motivates me and inspire me to do better. You know what I'm saying? Still to this day. So, yeah, you're right, man. I just want to say that very quick and rant off. But, yeah, man, I heard that voicemail and I'm like, man, you know what? I want to play it, man, because I think it's important for people to hear that, man, because I think it's important, man, you know?
No, it is. It is. And I'm just trying to think of the best way to say this, because I don't want to go back into another rant, but it is important. And, you know, I want to see more people doing this. I mean, that's just that simple, because what we're doing right now is going to inspire the next generation, who's going to take what we're doing and take it to an entirely new level. And you're like, well, goddamn, I didn't know you could do that. You know what I'm saying? And that excites me. That'd be my old ass out there trying to reinvent myself. So, cause I want to do what that person's doing. Like I said, 15 years ago, Danny inspired me to get into this, and it was never a competition. It was never a thing of envy or anything. It was a thing of, he's doing something really dope. I want to do some dope stuff too. Let me figure out how I can do it and put my own unique spin on it. And it's that simple.
Yep. All right. But thanks everyone for sending in a question. I know we have a couple more, but I think we should wrap it up and do maybe a little bit of after show after that. So, all right. So I have it over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Make sure to follow, subscribe, share the content. Let people know about us, because that will help us out a lot to get discovered out there, you know. So the more support you guys do, the more is going to help us out here, man. So also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail discussion or questions or segment, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, anything else before we wrap it up here, man? Anything else?
No, I'm looking forward to Outriders, which will, you know, by the time we next podcast, you know, we'll have the final game, be able to talk about it a little more. Just excited to see how that's going to play out. And yeah, man, also, I downloaded Octopath Traveler. I haven't really deep dived into it yet. It's like I'm trying to juggle so many different games. But hopefully I'll slice out some time so I can really jump into that and play that too. I've heard nothing but great things.
Yeah, it has that Final Fantasy Super NES vibe. Like that. Oh, it's so good. So good. Highly recommended. If you haven't played it on the Switch, make sure to download it on Game Pass. It's already there too, man. So yeah. By the way, I'm excited that all these games that was announced a couple of days ago, indie games from ID at Xbox, over 20 of those games are going to be also on day one available on Game Pass, man. So I can't wait to try those out, man. I'm a little disappointed I didn't hear anything about Tunic, because I'm very excited about that game, man. It's been years, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of the games that they showed there a couple of days ago on Twitch Gaming, oh my God, it looks phenomenal, man. Phenomenal. Long list, man. So can't wait to try it out, man. Definitely can't wait to try those games out, man. So, all right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Everyone, thank you for watching and also listening here to episode 1114. Hopefully, P will join us soon. He's still out of town. Miss him. Shout out to him. And yeah, we'll be back here. GTR, stay tuned. We're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.